I am the ascended master, the Elohim Astraea. What was the cognitive dissonance behind the creation of the Soviet Union? Well, from the perspective of the fourth way, it was that you have a communist Marxist ideology that is used as the basis for this new form of state. And that ideology says that it is meant to spread around the whole world, so the whole world will be communist. And yet, at the same time, you create a system where there is no room for acceleration. How can something spread and encompass the whole world if there is no room for acceleration? Let us just, as an example, look at the economy. The creators of the Soviet Union realized that they had had to force communism on Russia with a civil war. They realized that the only way to force communism on the rest of the world was through a violent revolution. Well, despite what you think about capitalism and money, waging a war to take over another country takes money. So if you plan to spread to the whole world, it takes a lot of money. Well, how can you produce that in a state that has a closed-ended economy, where there isn't room for the economy to grow? Why wasn't there room for the economy to grow? Because there was no room for individual initiative. There was no room for people to transcend their current state. You created an essentially static system where a small elite of those who were leading the party had control over the majority of the population. And none of the two classes in the classless society had freedom to go beyond the system. The leaders could only stay within the ideological boundaries defined by communist Marxist ideology, or we could say Leninist ideology. And of course, the people had no way to come up with new ideas, to do things better, to do things that was entirely different from the system. So you had an economy where there was no room for growth, no room for acceleration. And how could that economy ever provide the financial basis for a worldwide expansion of communism? It simply could not. There was no way this could ever have worked from the outset. As Saint Germain said, it was doomed to failure. It simply could not happen. This is something that people are ready to begin to see. Again, the tension in the creating in the tension in the collective consciousness has been building to the point where people are ready to see this. And therefore, even without knowing about ascended masters and the teachings we have given you, people can come to see that a communist economy cannot actually provide growth. It cannot ever provide self-sustaining growth. And that means that there is a limit to the amount of material wealth, the material standard of living that a communist system can provide. And it was pretty much what you saw in the Soviet Union, where there was always a lack of just about everything. So you have created a system that can only produce a state of lack, and that can never go beyond that state of lack. This is what common sense can show people. And again, it's important that there is some growing public awareness of this, because it can then open up people, especially in Eastern Europe, to say, well, how can we then create an economy that provides that growth that is the foundation for a better material standard of living. How can we give our people that standard of living that they obviously need because of those many decades of lack? People need to overcome this state of lack, because what does the state of lack do? Well, what happened to most people who lived under the Soviet system, whether in the Soviet Union or in the Warsaw Pact? They came to accept that this was what they could have. They couldn't have more. And this then caused people, unknowingly in most cases, to shut off any desire to have more. Well, if you shut off the desire to have more, what do you then shut off? You shut off your creativity. Because what is the driving force of creativity? You want more than. You don't want more of what you already have. You want more than what you have. You want a higher state than what you have. That is the driving force of creativity. So when you shut that off, then people come to accept, this is my station in life. This is all life can be. That is all I can have. And so what that does is that they shift away from the natural built-in tendency for growth. And they now take on a very unnatural state for a self-aware being. I'm not saying human being, but a self-aware being, that you want to grow, you want to accelerate, you want to have more. Instead, they take on this state of consciousness which you could consider human based on what you see on the world, where security, stability is more important than anything else. That is why you still see people in former Soviet countries who are longing back to that state of security where they knew what they had and they knew that what they had could never be taken away from them, or at least so they thought. The reality is, however, that when you have a system where there is no growth, no acceleration, that system is not sustainable, and therefore there will come a point where what you have will be taken away from you. Is that not what you saw in the Soviet Union states and in the Warsaw Pact countries when communism fell? Do you not see that what you have was taken away from you? Now, there are people who look back and they say, during Soviet times, we had a place to live, we had a job, we had a certain income, and it was a secure income. We always knew what we could count on. Then comes capitalism, and now there's insecurity, and many of us lost our jobs, and we don't have an income, and we might even lose a place to live, and all is insecurity. My beloved, it was not the advent of capitalism that caused you to lose what you had. It was the collapse of communism that caused you to lose what you had. And the collapse of communism was inevitable from the very beginning. If the Soviet Union hadn't collapsed as it did, it would have slowly started a decline, which it already had started, and the decline would have become worse and worse, and more people, even under the Soviet system, would have lost their jobs, would have lost their places to live, because the system simply couldn't have continued to provide what these people thought they could never lose. They would have lost it anyway. And so this is, again, not beyond what people can come to see just with a normal sense of awareness, just with a normal knowledge of how life works and how the economy works. And it is important for people to see this. The economic collapse of the Soviet Union was inevitable. It was set in motion at the creation of the Soviet Union. Why did it last so long? Why didn't it collapse sooner? Well, partly, my beloved, because some Western money men, financiers, kept the Soviet Union alive because they were making a profit out of the tension between East and West that caused them to be able to sell weapons to the West. And so, as some of these bankers in the United States, as is fairly well known, financed Lenin's takeover of power, they continued to finance the Soviet Union, giving it, so to speak, life support. But they didn't have the finances to do more than just give it life support. And so this is where I want to go beyond what people can necessarily come to see with a normal level of awareness. I want to give you some teachings based on what we have told you in the Ascended Master teachings. So what we have told you is that free will is the ultimate law of the universe. Now, when we say this, there are many people, not Ascended Master students, but many people in the world who, if they read this teaching, they would say, well, free will means we can do anything we want. And as we have explained, free will does not mean you can do anything you want. Because once you make one choice, you are creating a certain consequence. Because if you didn't create a certain consequence by making a choice, how would you know you had made a choice? So you cannot make choices without creating certain consequences. You are setting something in motion. And this is what then creates your physical circumstances. The entire background for free will and co-creation is that you are starting with a certain matrix in your identity body. You make it more elaborate, more detailed, more concrete in the mental body. You give it energy and drive in the emotional body. And this then is what manifests your physical circumstances. This is how it works on a natural planet. The thing is, on a natural planet, you are not in the duality consciousness. Therefore, you are not creating unpleasant circumstances for yourself. You are creating circumstances that you see as neutral. There's just a certain outcome. And if you create a certain physical circumstance, let us say a group of people decide to create a certain village where they want to live, then once they have created that, they can then choose to experience that for some time. And in principle, on a natural planet, you could experience that circumstance indefinitely because there isn't a force there that breaks down what you have created. So if you want to experience it for a long time, you can. The thing is, on a natural planet, because people are not in duality, they always want to experience something more. So they might choose to live in a certain environment for a time, but there will come a point where at least some of the people will want something more, something different. And so they will either get all of the other people to want to create something higher, or they will move on to other places where people are more open to creating something new. But there is no unpleasantness, there's no punishment, because you know you are creating through your mind, and therefore you know that whatever you have created, you can uncreate, you can change, you can accelerate to a higher state. Now, once you go into duality, you are in principle doing the same thing. You are formulating a matrix in your identity body and your mental body and your emotional body, and this is creating the physical circumstance. Now, what happened when a majority of the people on Earth fell into the consciousness of duality was, of course, that the Earth fell out of its natural state. When a planet is in its natural state, there is no lack. There is no struggle. You do not have to struggle to provide the basis for your material existence. What you here on earth call a place to live, food, clothing, and those necessities of life. In order to survive physically on a natural planet, you do not have to struggle. You just co-create it. And if you don't feel it's the way you want it, you change it, or you co-create something different. But once you go into duality, once the majority of the life streams on a planet go into duality, you very quickly create a state where you have to struggle to make a living. And the reason for this is simple, that when you go into duality, you activate the safety mechanism that is built into the law of free will. In principle, the law of free will gives you completely free will. You can do anything you want. There are no limitations put upon your free will by the Creator. However, as we said, whatever you co-create, you will experience. And this is, in a sense, the safety mechanism. Because this means that when you co-create something from the duality consciousness, you are co-creating a physical material circumstance, just like you do on a natural planet. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is that on a natural planet, you are consciously aware that you created, you co-created that circumstance. And therefore, if that circumstance is to change, you have to change yourself. You have to change your state of consciousness. When you go into duality, you lose this. What does this mean? It means now that a group of people have now collectively co-created a certain circumstance. But they are not consciously aware that they themselves have created it because it is an outpicturing of their state of consciousness. What does it mean that they are not aware, that they are not taking responsibility for what they have created? Well, how do you avoid taking responsibility for what you have created? You project in your mind that it was created by some force outside yourself. Whether it was an almighty God in heaven or some natural law, it was created by something outside yourself. What does that mean? It means you can't change it because you don't think you can change it. You don't think that this circumstance was created by the powers of your mind, and therefore, how can you think that the powers of your mind can change it? If it was created by some force that is more powerful than you, how can you accept that you could change this? Now, in a sense, you could say that it was created by a force that was more powerful than you as an individual because it was created by the collective consciousness. And it is more powerful than most individuals, especially when they are in duality. So, this is then the safety mechanism that is built into the law of free will, that when people don't think they have created their circumstance, they can't change it. What does that mean? It means they keep building onto it. They keep repeating that track. It is as if their co-creative efforts are locked on a track. And how can they get out of it now? They all experience that this is something unpleasant. They have to struggle against this. It isn't really what they want. But since they don't think they can create it, how can they get out of it? Well, they can only get out of it through what we have called the school of hard knocks, where people come to that point where they are have had so enough of that particular circumstance that they finally become willing to ask themselves, is there something I could do to change this? Could I change myself? Could I change the way I look at it? Could I change my attitude? Is there something I can change? So the question now becomes, what does it take for people to get to that point where they make that shift? And once they are in the school of hard knocks and they are not taking responsibility for themselves, not listening for any higher direction, then it is only that they keep co-creating more and more of the same until their creation breaks down. Why will their creation break down? Well, this is again something that is built into the law of free will. What is the entire purpose of the law of free will? It is to take a self-aware being that has been created with a point-like sense of identity and allow that self-aware being to expand its sense of identity to the point where it can actually ascend. So the entire purpose of giving free will is growth, is acceleration, is self-transcendence. So when you give people free will, you also give them the option to go into duality. But in duality, they are not transcending themselves. Therefore, they are not growing. So how can they create a society that's growing? How can they create an outer circumstance that is growing, that is transcending itself? It cannot be done. And that is why gradually they create more and more of the same. They add more and more fear-based energy in the emotional realm, more and more self-centered mental energy in the mental realm, and more separate, a more and more separate sense of identity and that associated energy in the identity realm. They densify. You're always creating more, but if you're creating more of the same, what must happen? You densify. When energy becomes denser, it crosses the threshold and becomes what you call matter, physical matter. Physical matter is densified energy. Well, the more of the energy you create in the three higher bodies, the more dense the physical must become. And the more dense things become, everything slows down. Everything becomes more difficult. Everything becomes more of a struggle. And that is why eventually there comes that point where what you can see in a train, where you can see that when the train slows down, there comes a point where the momentum of the train going forward is not big enough to overcome the friction between the wheel and the track. And therefore, the wheels stop turning. There is simply such friction. There is not enough power in the system to overcome the friction. And the friction becomes bigger and bigger, and therefore the wheels grind to a halt as the economic train of the Soviet Union started grinding down more and more. This is actually what Gorbachev realized. He realized that the economy of the Soviet Union was not sustainable, and it was only a matter of time before everything would stop, or before the Soviet Union would fall so behind the military development, the technological development of the West, that they couldn't deter an attack. And therefore he feared that there would be that attack, which is what the Soviet Union would have done if they had the advantage. And therefore, either way, the Soviet Union would end. So he thought that it would be possible to make economic reforms but maintain the Soviet system. But this, because of what I have explained to you, simply could not be done. Jesus expressed it in his parable about the talents. The servants who multiplied the talents were given more, and the servant who didn't, well, from him was taken what he had. But it is not, as it is portrayed in the Bible, some God up there that makes a decision, I'm going to reward these two, but not that one. It's just simply the law. When you are multiplying what you have, you are accelerating. And therefore, you are part of that, what we have called the upward pull of the entire sphere that pulls even on earth. You are part of that accelerating movement. And therefore, you are growing the economy. The economy is growing. Why is it growing? Because you are able to receive and bring down to the physical level energy from the spiritual realm. When you are co-creating in a positive way, you are bringing more energy into the system. When you are co-creating, although it isn't co-creating, it's decreating from a state of duality, you can only work with the energy that is in the system. But since you are densifying everything, there comes a point where there isn't enough energy in the system to keep your machine moving. If you look at the Soviet Union, you could say, from the moment of the creation of the Soviet Union, Russia and the other states who became part of the initial Soviet Union, they had a certain amount of energy in their identity bodies, a certain amount in the mental body, a certain amount in the emotional, and a certain amount in the physical. As the Soviet Union kept moving on, in order to sustain the state that was there in the physical, they had to pull energy from the three higher realms. They had to pull it down to the physical level. That meant that they were gradually depleting the energy in the identity, mental, and emotional realms. Well, what was the effect of this? Well, first of all, it shut off creativity, because the less energy you have in the identity realm, the less energy you can receive from the spiritual. But it also shut down people's ability to think clearly. Again, in the mental realm, people became so starved that they couldn't think about new ways of doing things. All they could think about was repeating the old patterns. Their thoughts were locked on a track. Their emotions became locked on a track. There wasn't even enough energy that people could muster determination to say, this isn't working. Why are we doing this? We don't want to do this anymore. They mindlessly kept doing the same thing. A few people here and there were thinking more clearly, were attempting to provide reforms, but could they? You could say that Gorbachev was thinking more clearly, but when he tried to enact reforms, he ran into such an opposition because there wasn't enough energy in the identity, mental, and emotional realms that people could even grasp what he was attempting to do. And so you see that it was inevitable that the machine would grind to a halt. And so what you see here is, again, as other masters have said, how can you create this new human being that you want to create in order to get your system to work? Well, you can only do it when you use force. You can only lower the consciousness. And so you lowered the creative potential of the people. You forced them into a state of passivity where they were not open to any kind of creative flow. What is creativity? As we have said, it's a flow. There's an energy and ideas flowing from your I Am presence to your three higher bodies into the physical. Well, when you can't even connect to your I Am presence because your identity body is so starved, How can you even have that flow? So what few people have understood, but which actually could be understood by certain economists, is that when you look at a functioning economy, and I'm not talking here about a capitalist economy as the opposite of a communist economy, but a functioning economy where there is some freedom for the general population, then you see that there is actually more energy brought into the four lower bodies of the earth and the four lower bodies of the people. This means that there is now more energy available to create economic growth, to create wealth. What can cause the economy to grow? It is, again, that principle that Jesus explained in the parable of the talents, that those who had multiplied the talents received even more. Where did they receive it from? Well, simply they received energy from the spiritual realm. Again, it wasn't some God who arbitrarily looked at people and decided, I'm going to reward these people. They simply activated a natural law, because when you open up for the flow, the energy will flow. The energy is constantly being released in the spiritual realm. It's just a matter of, is there an openness to receive it? And there is only an openness to receive it when you are multiplying the talents. What does it mean to be multiplying the talents? It means you are doing something that isn't strictly self-centered. You may still have a desire to improve your situation in life, but you're not doing this regardless of the consequence that it has for others. You're not seeking to get something by taking from others. You are seeking to get more by creating more. You're doing something that also benefits other people, that also benefits the whole. Now, as we said, the communist system or the communal ownership system can only work when people are selflessly working to improve the whole. But the communist system could never achieve this kind of selfless actions, because it drove the collective consciousness and the individual consciousness way down below the 48th level, where people become more and more selfish. So how could they ever work for the whole? But when you step up and start becoming less selfish, less self-centered, then you bring forth more energy into the physical realm, and that is what creates growth in the economy at the physical level. There is simply no other way to grow an economy. And that's why, as we have said before, if you have a nation, such as you see in the Scandinavian nations, that at some point decided, we do not want people to be poor, to be starving, to not have a place to live. We want all people to have a decent standard of living. When the decision was made to provide this, then there was a shift. And suddenly the economy grew to the point where the income from taxes to the state could support a welfare system. Right now, the United States could not support a welfare system as you see in Scandinavia. This has been part of the presidential debate for the last several elections. And there are some that say, well, the United States couldn't support that. The economy couldn't support that welfare system. And in a sense, they are right. With the present level of the collective consciousness, the present level of humanity, the present level of willingness to work for the whole instead of working for oneself, the American economy couldn't support a Scandinavian-style welfare system. But if there was a shift in the collective consciousness, as you have seen in Scandinavia, then the American economy would very quickly be able to support the exact same kind of welfare system with free universal health care. Because the economy would grow to the point where it could support it. The same, of course, holds true for the nations of Eastern Europe, the nations who used to be under communism. The communist system supported a certain very low standard of living. But as I said, that would have been lost within a matter of 1 to 2 decades, where you would have seen the communist system starting to break down. And some people would have lost their jobs and their place to live. And then what would they have done? They would have had no place to go whatsoever. And what would the authorities in the Soviet Union have done with this? They would have decided, for ideological reasons, we cannot allow this. So we have to get rid of these people. And how would they have done it? Well, guess. How did they get rid of all the dissidents who didn't accept the system? The individual in a communist system is expendable, because only the state matters. Only the whole, only the ideology, only creating the communist utopia matters. The individual is incidental. In a capitalist system, the individual does not matter either. That's why there is a need to create a different society with a different approach that isn't strictly capitalist and isn't strictly communist, because it's based on that higher level of humanity where you connect to that humanity in yourself. This gives you respect for yourself as an individual. And once you have respect for yourself as an individual, you will have respect for other people as individuals. And therefore, a society suddenly emerges that is based on respect for the individual, and therefore the state cannot set aside or violate the rights of the individual. It just becomes obvious. And so this is what has the potential to happen in all former Soviet nations and Warsaw Pact countries. It can happen when you make that shift. But in order to make that shift, you need to shift away from this focus on self and become more focused on the humanity. Now, in a communist system, there was no room for humanity, because nobody did anything for humanitarian reasons. They all were motivated by themselves, their own self-interest, their narrow self-interest. But in a more open system, a more free system, people can begin acting out of enlightened self-interest. In the beginning, it is still self-interest. But there comes that point where it starts to shift, and more people actually go beyond the self-interest, or you could say they expand their sense of self to the point where it encompasses other people, even the whole, even some kind of principle, but it isn't something that's forced upon them as it was in the Soviet system. It's something that comes from within, and therefore it is creative, and it gives them a creative drive. And this is what you see that some countries have done. They have done it unconsciously, and that's why there are still some limitations to how the economy functions. But if nations would start becoming more conscious of this, you could quickly change the entire economy of the world, where more and more wealth would be created, so that instead of having rich countries and poor countries, all countries would be brought up to a higher standard of living. It is entirely possible, simply because it is mandated by the law of free will. How can you know it's possible? Well, once you begin to recognize that human beings have created the current conditions through their level of consciousness, you can also realize that it is possible to create a higher state through your level of consciousness when you raise that level of consciousness. And so, by the very fact that you have been able to create the misery you see, you can see that you can also create a much better state. Perhaps even a much better state than most people could accept today. And this is, of course, one of the great limitations of communism. People cannot see a state that is much higher than what they have experienced in their lives. But this I will let other masters expound upon. as I am grateful for having had this opportunity to give you this perspective from the Elohim of the fourth ray. So with this, I want to give you an opportunity, extend to you what we might call a dispensation, where those who read or hear this dictation, you have the opportunity to make a simple call to me to cut you free individually from these illusions of communism. You don't need to describe them in elaborate terms, but you might mention specific illusions that you want to be cut free from. And then I will do this on an individual basis, and as you ask for it for your nation as well, I will also do it for other people, those that I evaluate are closest to breaking through to a new vision. It may not necessarily be specific people you know, therefore I am asking you to keep the call universal and leave it up to me to decide who could be of most benefit to the progression of your nation. So this is a significant dispensation that I extend to all people who have been under the communist system or still are under some of the versions of the communist system that have survived, at least in name. And so with this, I seal you in the accelerating flame of the fourth ray.